From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm, Neil McCready here in a little bit. We're going to spend some time with Barrett Salee. He is one of the national media members, the highest on the Rebels. So we'll ask him why and talk a little Ole Miss football with Barrett coming up on the show in a bit. If you're coming in this weekend, make sure you stop by the Oxford Exxon on Highway 6 West. You can get the daiquiris for as little as $3.99, as big as 44 ounces if you so choose. Speed Pass Plus, take care of everything as far as paying for your fuel right there at the tank. Don't worry about identity theft, credit card fraud, and other things that could hit you at certain gas stations. But not at Exxon and Blue Sky with Speed Pass Plus. Download the app, save money, make everything efficient on you. Go next door to the Extra Crystal and get the pimento cheese bites. They are back in stock and ready to be bitten there at the Oxford Crystal. So we'll
ready to be bitten.
Ready to be bitten. Yes, swallowed, if you will.
Consumed,
ingested. It's Friday again. You got Major League Two reviews yesterday on a Thursday. So Lord
Carson
help you today.
He enjoyed it.
He liked Major League Two.
He did. He liked it. He is very enamored with Charlie Sheen's character.
Bless him.
Yeah. Probably a sign of what's coming.
The Terminator.
The Debilitator.
Yeah. Can't say the other one. That's a movie you like more when you're younger, and you like it less as you get older and out of some of the slapstick, and you go, oh my gosh, this sucks.
Yeah, he's 11.
Yeah, at 11, perfect. It's all good.
It's
I
awesome.
Mean,
it's funny.
At 11, I probably really like Back to the Miners, but yeah. You know.
And so I told him, I said, you wouldn't like that. And then I thought, you're 11, you might.
Well, it's like we got pointed out on the board yesterday. I mentioned Quantum Leap for Scott Bakula. I did not mention that Scott Bakula was the quarterback, Paul Blake, in Necessary Roughness, the football movie with Kathy Ireland. So I did forget that.
She did look good in a football
uniform. The Texas State Armadillos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did look good in a football uniform.
They tied someone like maybe Iowa, and then they beat the Texas Colts at the end. Spoiler alert.
Basically beat the Longhorns.
The Colts.
Disguised
they
as
were,
the Colts.
They were blue and gold, the Texas Colts, who they had gotten in a bar fight with previously.
That happens.
Yeah. Sinbad made a couple big plays.
He did.
So, anyway, Clark Ford Studio in Clark Ford, Amory, Mississippi.
662-257-1900 is the number for Clark Ford. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what you're thinking about, what you're looking for. He'll send you some quotes. You get the quotes. Shop them around. It's up to you. Here's the deal with the quotes. They're going to be right to the bottom line. There's not going to be any haggling. There's not going to be any tricks. Corey is motivated to spend as little time in the haggling process as possible. So he spends none and gets you right to the bottom line. And you can make your deal. You're going to get a great vehicle, great service after the sale. Everything you could want, it's right there at Clark Ford. Just fantastic people. I've dealt with them. I'm driving a Clark Ford. Love it. You will too. 662-257-1900. Mention any of our podcasts. You can mention this podcast, of course. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, which is up yesterday. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans, which we'll be up by the time you hear this. It's up now, but it's being published as we speak.
No, it's up. We're good. It's already published and gone.
Baby, it's online. You can listen to it right now. 44 minutes of deep, hardcore recruiting with Russell Johnson. And Jay Tate and I are taping a greatest pod in the South at some point today. I believe that's the plan. And mention any of those $500 off. The bottom line, Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. We'll have some big news on the greatest pod in the South when we publish today.
You will?
Yes.
Okay. What's
big,
it about?
Big news. I can't tell you that. It would no longer be news.
Oh, I thought you were about to announce something we had going up here soon, but we'll do that soon.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that on that. I would do that.
Well, I know. Here. I didn't. Well, you didn't say the greatest pod in the South when that thought was in my head. You go, well, we got some big news.
Now,
and I thought you were about to
throw it. There is some potential crossover.
Is there?
There is.
I haven't been alerted to this.
Well, if you'd think about it for just a minute, there is some potential crossover given the timing of things.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm all good.
You're more checked out on Friday than normal. I'm usually the one that's completely checked out, and you're trying to keep the car in the lane. And today I feel like you pulled in and you're already off on the shoulder.
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I've got kind of about 10 different plates up in the air. I'm just, I'm sort of frazzled this morning.
I can see. It's disarming to me because I'm usually the one that is completely checked out by Friday morning.
I didn't sleep very well. I stayed up for me fairly late last night.
8:30?
Well, I didn't publish that story till about 10:40 last night.
Wow.
I was writing at 10:25, 10:30 last night.
You okay? What time did you get up, about 2?
Well, see, that was a problem. The child woke up this morning at 5:15, and I'd already woken up, but I had a hard time falling asleep. I think I stayed up so late for me that I got overtired, and then I had a hard time falling asleep. Because I was laying there and going, well, I'm doing nothing different. I don't know what the deal is, but I could not fall asleep. I had not had caffeine.
When you're an 80-year-old man, you're going to go to bed at about 8:30 and wake up at about 8:35.
Well, there's no doubt I'm going to be the dude that eats dinner at about 3:45 in the afternoon in bed as soon as, like, the 7 o'clock prime time is over. And, no, my dad did this, though. I mean, in all seriousness, I will be the person that wakes up at 3:45 in the morning as I get older. I'll operate on about 6.5 hours of sleep and work till about 9 to about 3:30 in the morning.
I love you, but I'm glad I don't live in the same place.
Well, I'm very quiet. I get up, mind my own business, enjoy my mornings. I get my coffee and whatever it is I read on my computer. I mean, you don't get a paper anymore, but whatever. I mean, had I been born 15 years previous, I'd be the guy with like 8 newspaper subscriptions and up at 4 in the morning and have everything laid out on the table and all that stuff. Because I don't know why. I mean, we've had this conversation. I think about this a lot is like, you know, knowing yourself, how would you be different? What would your occupation be? What would you be doing? Were you born in different eras and different decades and different things? So I don't know. It has no relevance on anything, but for some reason that kind of fascinates me a little bit. So
what do you, had you been born 50 years ago, what do you think?
50 years ago?
What do you think you would have done for a living?
Whew.
So you're born in the 60s.
Born in the 60s.
That's 50 years ago.
Well, yeah, okay. So you're not saying I'm 50 years older. You're just saying 50 years being born. So really, I'm pushing my age back 20 years.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Push your age back 50 years.
Oh, well, I don't know.
So you were born in the 80s. Now you're born in the 30s.
I mean, I do think that had I been born in a certain era, I would have been doing something very similar. I think I would have been a sports editor of a newspaper. I like kind of the organization and the way things look. I'm not OCD at all, but I am kind of OCD with things on pages and the way things are presented and whatnot.
OCD.
Overall?
No,
just about that.
Yeah, with the site. Like
the pin threads bother me at the top of the board. Yeah,
they don't bother me at all.
I mean, I would never have been in the position to be one of these, but like, I mean, I like people more than you do. Like, I think I could have been some sort of an accounts executive where you deal with people and customers and different things depending on.
I used to like people.
I mean, I'm not like saying I'm like Roger Sterling on Mad Men, but that kind of thing where you're a little more social and whatever your executive element is.
I used to be significantly more social than
that. No, you're getting less social by the year.
Well, what's happening to me is I am developing, and I've got to work on this really because I'm too young to completely go down this road. I'm developing almost a social anxiety disorder.
Well, that's not good.
No, I get nervous being around people.
By the way, Necessary Roughness with a good 31 on Rotten Tomatoes, so it is 6 times better than Major League 2 per the...
I would have given it a good score just because she was in it.
Okay. Yeah.
She's very cute.
She is
Kathy
cute.
Ireland.
Yeah.
Very successful. Very smart.
Supermodel is very cute, ladies and gentlemen.
She's very smart.
Studious, if you will.
Well, she comes across in that as kind of dingy or whatever, but she apparently in real life is anything but.
It's on Netflix right now, Rotten Tomatoes says.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Hector Elizondo, isn't it? He's straight heir of Gennaro, if I remember correctly, from from the movie. But anyway, I don't know. Just nonetheless. You see it on the board. I actually meant to bring this up yesterday. In Scotland, you can now get mayonnaise-flavored ice cream. Did you see this?
Yes, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
I get.
You got that notification on the Twitter machine?
I get a handful of notifications and emails routinely about things such as snakes and mayonnaise, which is proof that either people hate me or they just kind of really like me and they just want to see if they can upset me or freak me out because they know that the sight of snakes. All you have to really do is find a picture, and I'm challenging people at this point, of snakes in mayonnaise, and I'll be completely consumed.
Yeah, they take basically vanilla ice cream or the makings of vanilla ice cream and mix it with Hellman's mayonnaise and then create a very creamy final product.
I saw where they're also making like a Heinz ketchup ice cream.
Still no. Better than the mayonnaise.
Better than the mayonnaise, but no.
It, out of like the traditional, give it, for lack of a better word, liquid condiments, I would probably try mustard before I would any of them. The sweetness of the ice cream with kind of the little bit of tart or whatever it is in the mustard, I would give it a shot if you made me just do one of them. But that's weird that somebody thought mayonnaise would be a better one than mustard just to do an ice cream.
Yeah. What would mustard ice cream? At least with ketchup, there's a sweetness to it. I don't know.
On the site this morning, as an addition to the soft verbal, we got some recruiting coverage up. Wrote kind of a thought notebook last night, looked at how big home games are for teams when you really look at statistics over the last two and over the last 3 years as far as how teams have fared at home in the SEC. What is the statistical advantage for being at home? And as you'd imagine, it kind of depends who the team is because better teams win really no matter where they are. But all in all, I really thought this number had been a little higher, Neil. Home teams in the SEC win at a 55% clip over the last two and the last 3 years. One of them's 55.6 or something, and one of them's like 54.9. So right at 55% for home teams.
You know what would be interesting is eliminate the outliers in this.
Well, I kind of can. I have every team in their home and road record.
Throw Alabama out.
You want two seasons or three seasons?
Well, the bigger the better. Three. Throw Alabama out and throw Vanderbilt out.
Actually, yeah, Vanderbilt's the worst. Vanderbilt's 4-8 at home over the last three seasons.
Okay.
Alabama's 11-1.
Okay.
So we'll
throw them out. I'm curious to see how I bet the other number is so close to 50-50. It's crazy.
It's very close because I'll just run through it real quick. You got Florida at 8-2 at home. LSU at 10-3. LSU a little better at home than maybe I would have thought, but okay.
Okay.
Georgia at 8-3, Auburn at 7-5, South Carolina at 6-5, Kentucky at 6-6, Tennessee at 6-6, State at 5-7, Missouri at 5-7, Ole Miss at 5-7, Arkansas at 4-6, A&M at 4-7. That's interesting there. A&M loses a lot of home games, and then Vanderbilt at 4-8 over the last three seasons.
That's why Kevin Sumlin's no longer the coach at Texas A&M.
Not only losing, but losing. And the whole point of me writing that was Ole Miss, when you look at their schedule, everybody goes, well, this game's the one they need to win. This game's the one they need to win. This game's the one they need to win. None of them are in Oxford. They're all on the road. And what does that really mean? And when you look at the last two seasons, it's why I'm sort of fascinated by the season for Ole Miss a little bit because their discrepancy, offensive talent versus defensive talent, and then the way the schedule sets up. Because the last two seasons have not been good enough. I mean, that's easy to say. Ole Miss is tied for the worst record in the SEC at home the last two seasons at 2-6.
Okay.
They beat Georgia 2 years ago and then beat Vanderbilt this past season.
Yes.
So 2-6.
That's right, isn't it? That's
it. Yeah, the last two seasons, 2-6.
Okay.
There are three of their four road games this year. I'm forgetting the other one. It's OSU, who's been good, 6-2 over the last 2 years at home. Their other three are against the three other worst teams at home this season. So they go on the road with games that at least somewhat appear winnable when you look at it on paper, and it's against three teams that cannot protect home field.
It's interesting because when people say to me, give me SEC games that Ole Miss should win, I immediately name road games.
Yeah.
And when people say rank the winnability of SEC games, as I think about it, I put all four road games in front of any of the four home games.
A&M, over the last two seasons, A&M's 2-5 at home in SEC play. Arkansas's 2-5, Vanderbilt's 2-6.
If you were to make me rank the games 1 through 8, 1 being most winnable, 8 being least winnable.
I mean, dude,
winnable.
That's under 33% for all three of those teams.
It's incredible. I would say that Vanderbilt is the most winnable SEC game. I would say Arkansas is the second most winnable SEC game. This is where I'm different than a lot of people. I would put LSU as the third most winnable SEC game. A&M would be fourth. South Carolina 5th, Mississippi State 6th, Auburn 7th, and Alabama 8th of Ole Miss's 8 SEC games.
Okay.
Do you have any wide?
No wide discrepancy. I was going to say what's also – this is known but interesting nonetheless when you see it on paper is Ole Miss is 2-6 at home the last two seasons while being second in the league in points scored at home. They score 34.8 points per game in SEC play at home the last two seasons, but are 2-6 because they give up the most points in SEC play at home, which is 37.6. They've been outscored 37-34 on average in SEC play at home the last two seasons.
So you're saying the defense has been a problem?
Anything else that's fairly notable? The biggest discrepancy from home and away, from home points scored to points allowed in a negative way, taking out Vanderbilt because they're getting beat 34-18 at home over the last two seasons on average.
Yeah, I kind of throw them and Alabama out on extremes.
Yeah, because Alabama is 8-0 and is outscoring opponents the last two seasons 40-8.
Yeah, it's just
that doesn't count.
NFL franchise over there.
Yeah, it's a little weird. So. What I was going to say, though, is it seems like the unlucky team at home as far as points scored, points allowed, and how the record is shaped out, the Pythagorean thing, if you want to do that.
Yes.
Mississippi State, probably the unlucky one, or either they lose games late for some reason. They are outscoring opponents 31.5 to 26.8 on average, but are 4-4 over the last two seasons. So even though they have a pretty decent gap there on points scored to points allowed – Arkansas is getting hammered. They are 2-5 at home the last two seasons, scoring 27 points and giving up 36.
Wow.
And then A&M is scoring 28, giving up 34.5 points per game. So it's interesting. If nothing else, Ole Miss goes to LSU this season. They are averaging 27 scored, 16 given up over the last 2 years at home.
They don't – I love to bash Orgeron because it's fun and to make fun of his voice and all that stuff. They don't probably get – we probably don't give them enough credit for how they held it together last season. They lost to Troy and everybody went, that's it. It's over. And it wasn't. They actually hung in there.
Ole Miss is 3-5 on the road over the last two seasons in SEC games, scoring an average of 23.8 points and giving up an average of 38.7 points. Now, you got that Alabama killing in there, too.
Yeah, but they won at Texas A&M.
Kentucky
last year. What's the other win? Because they didn't win at Vanderbilt the last time they were there.
Yeah, A&M, Kentucky. Had to have been won early in that year. Hold on.
Isn't that funny you can't remember stuff?
But I can tell you scores of games from like 2000. But 2 years ago, I can't tell you.
And everybody in the audience right now is yelling and screaming at us.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind. On the road, they won. Oh, at Kentucky was this year, wasn't it?
It was this past season, yes. Yeah. It was the comeback.
The comeback.
Oh, it was a comeback.
No, I know. I'm just talking. Maybe my stat was wrong.
They won at A&M in 16 in Patterson's first game. But then they lost at Vanderbilt the next week. And then last season they won at Kentucky.
Oh, at State last year.
Good grief.
Yeah, y'all can yell at us that we deserve it.
Won at State.
Yeah, duh. So 3-5 at home, I mean on the road over the last 2 years. 23 scored, 38 given up. That is better than Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and then Tennessee on the road the last two seasons, 1-7 on the road, getting outscored 37-24.
Falls are back, brick by brick.
Brick by brick. Alabama on the road, 7-1 over the last two seasons, scoring 35 and giving up 19.
That's just – he's done a – Love him, hate him, whatever. Dude's done an incredible job. They're the best program in the country.
Thoughts is an interesting stat here. Now, I'm going to move on in a minute, but I got down this rabbit hole last night and thought I'm going to make graphs out of this because I thought it was interesting. Vanderbilt, 2-10 on the road the last three seasons. And you would think, oh, that number is going to be crazy because their home record is getting killed from a point scored standpoint. On the road over the last three seasons, they're only getting outscored by an average of 7 points per game, yet they're 2-10.
No, they've played
a lot. They lose every close game.
Played a lot of close games.
And lose them.
Yeah.
Yeah, 28-21 on points scored and allowed on the road. So, South Carolina coming to Oxford, they are 3-10 on the road in the SEC the last three seasons. They are getting outscored an average of 25-17 on the road.
Were they last year on the road?
Last year?
Yeah.
I don't know. The last 2 years, they were 3-5, scoring 14 and giving up 18.
Yeah, I'm high on them. That's my team.
You do like them.
I like that team. I think they're going to be really good. Going to have a really solid quarterback, an elite receiver, going to be good on both lines, better on defense. They're going to play to their personality. They're going to be steady.
Going to go to Barrett Salee in a couple minutes. First of all, I'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. So contact Jason with 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. If you're heading up to Oxford this year, many of you are, it starts September the 8th with the home opener against Southern Illinois. There's the first of 7 dates concluding on Thanksgiving night against Mississippi State. If you're coming to one of those, 4 of those, all of those, get in touch with 7 South Tailgating. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South Tailgating once and you'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service. No one matches their attention to detail at 7southtailgating.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, bless you. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB is offering 1-year CDs at 1.75% APY, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY, and with that 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Now, Barrett Salee on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
Hey, Barrett, welcome into the show. Really appreciate you joining us. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll start here. Don't have a lot of time with you, so I want to get right to the thing that interests me the most. SEC Media Days, Ole Miss picked 6th in the SEC West. Couple of guys on the first team, all SEC team. Really nobody after that. I picked them 6th. I'm around the program a lot. You know football really well. You are a lot higher on Ole Miss than I think anyone I know. What do you see or think that you see that maybe nobody else is seeing?
Well, you know, here's the thing with Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is in a group in the West with Texas A&M and Mississippi State. I don't know why they were 6th, because I think they're significantly better than LSU this year. But I think A&M, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss are sort of in a group together. And I don't vote based on what I think in terms of just where teams are in terms of right this second. I vote based on the win-loss record. I go through the helmet schedule before media days, and I give a win and a loss to everybody. And the way it turned out, I have Ole Miss tied with Mississippi State, I believe, but winning the head-to-head battle. And Texas A&M in that mix as well. So, you know, I just think that Ole Miss, from a functionality standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, they're going to put a ton of pressure on teams. They are able to score 40 on a lot of different teams. They also might give up 41, but I just think with that wide receiving core and quarterback Jordan Ta'amu, who's more comfortable with the system, I just think they're going to be really hard to stop. And, you know, the only loss I have for Alabama is Ole Miss in week three. Now, I think Ole Miss is going to be up and down, but I think that sets up well for Ole Miss to spring an upset. And if they do, I see them sort of leapfrogging that little beefy middle of the SEC West and finishing third in the West.
I have to tell you, Barrett, if Ole Miss beats Alabama on, what's that, September the 15th, go ahead and plan on being on this show on September 17th, and you can gloat and say, you told us so. I, in my mind, I don't see – Chase is sitting right here. I don't see a scenario in which Ole Miss beats Alabama. I don't really care where the game's played. I just don't think they can outscore them to that level, because I don't know that Ole Miss has the goods on defense to stop Alabama, especially if it's Tua Tagovailoa doing – what everyone says he's capable of doing.
Right. No, I agree. It's going to be a tough challenge, but I think when you look at Alabama and they replace five guys in the secondary and you have to go up against those wide receivers that early in the season on the road where it's going to be loud and communication is going to be a problem. To me, it just sets up for one of those traps for Alabama. And let's be real. You know, Alabama loses games more in more seasons than they go undefeated. So, if there's one game they lose out there, that one sort of sets up to be the one other than Auburn that, you know, is the most dangerous to me. So, you know, I don't really – look, I like Tua, and I think he's going to be great. But I'm also one of these guys to say, all right, look, let's not go out there and think he's going to throw 40 touchdowns and only two picks this year, because I just don't see how he can do that. I don't see that as realistic for in terms of what he can do. So – I still think they can be explosive, yes, but, you know, to me that just feels like the one game for Alabama outside of the Iron Bowl where they might trip up, and especially where it is on the schedule, I just it's scary for Alabama.
You and I agree on LSU. I think LSU has the hot – if you told me a team combusted – I would immediately say it's LSU. What are your thoughts on that team as they get ready for what could be a really weird 2018?
That they're going to combust because, you know, the schedule's tough. And look, Joe Burrow, I think he might be all right. But to me, we heard the same things about Jake Coker in 2014. He got beat out by the Lake Sims. We heard, oh, it was a battle between he and Jameis Winston. Oh, it was a battle between Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins. Well, okay, that doesn't mean Joe Burrow is a bad quarterback. Jake Coker turned out okay. But let's not buy what Urban's saying right out of the gate. You know, he might just be selling this guy pretty high to you know, make sure that he's rewarded for what he did at Ohio State. So, you know, when you combine that with an offense that I think is going to go back to what it was under LSU just by virtue of Steve Ensminger being there, and the fact that they don't have a running game that they trust at all. They lost more than 90% of their rushing production from last year. That just – it's going to be tough out there for Ole Miss or for LSU. And, you know, when it comes to the schedule, I mean, you still got to get into an uncomfortable game possibly with Ole Miss where they're going to score a bunch of points. You still got to play Auburn on the road early. You got Miami. You got Georgia. You got Alabama. You still have Florida, which I think is a better team right now than LSU. It's just – I don't see it. I don't see it for LSU. And, you know, like you said, they're very combustible. And I think they're going to combust too.
What are your thoughts on Arkansas as a team we don't talk much about? Chad Morris in year one, obviously he's trying to install a new system and all of that stuff. There is some excitement around that program. There's certainly a lot of recruiting success that's happening inside that program, especially with in-state kids. What do you look from the Hogs in year one?
Arkansas, I don't trust their defense. I don't think they've got the athletes defensively. I don't think they made the right decision in terms of, you know, the defensive coordinator, just because Chavis, to me, is an in-school defensive coach, and that doesn't sit well when his offense on his side runs up tempo. he has never proven that he can coordinate when his offense is like that. And when you combine that with a quarterback situation and Cole Kelly and Ty Story, neither of whom really are set to operate what Chad Morris wants to do, I just don't trust them yet. It might take a while for Chad Morris because he needs to recruit Texas heavily. He needs to recruit players for his system, and he doesn't really have either of those right now because the worst thing that Brett Bielema ever did was go into Texas and tell high school coaches that the game's going to be played the way Brett wants to play it. That, I think, really hurt him in terms of recruiting in the state of Texas, and it's going to take a little while for Chad to build that back up. So this year I think it's going to be a big struggle. Down the road, we'll see, but it's not going to be easy this year, next year, or maybe even the year after that, just because you're fighting a recruiting battle that's an uphill battle no matter what, no matter who's coaching at Arkansas.
And what about Texas A&M in year one? Ole Miss goes over there late in the season to College Station. That's been a pretty close game the last few years. Ole Miss won the last time it went over there, lost last season in Oxford. I think Jimbo Fisher is going to do well at A&M. I think he's eventually going to win pretty big. I'm not sure he's going to win as big as they think he's going to win. But if you told me that his first year at Texas A&M resembled Nick Saban's first year at Alabama, when there was, at least internally inside the team, almost resistance to the culture change, I'd buy it. That makes them vulnerable if that's the case. You probably know more about it than I do. What do you think?
No, I mean, I think that's exactly what I think. I think when it comes to Jimbo Fisher, he's just got, every coach changed the culture. He ups the strength and conditioning program, all that stuff, right? But I think Jimbo actually means it. Not to say Kevin Sumlin did it wrong. I just think that Jimbo's way is Jimbo's way. So because of that, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle this year. They don't have a quarterback that they trust. I don't really think they trust everything in terms of their defense. Their offensive line, I think, is good but not great. And I think it's going to take some time. They're going to have moments where they look great. They're going to have moments where they look terrible. And that's exactly what Saban was in 2007 with Alabama. So, it's just a transition year. It's going to be hard for these players to sort of grasp what Jimbo does because his offense is really complicated and it's very different from what they ran under Kevin Sumlin. And I think I'm most interested to find out from a on-the-field perspective, how flexible was Jimbo Fisher, the coach? Because in the years past, he's been extremely stubborn at Florida State to a point where last season was basically all on him. And it's going to take a little while for, I think, him to sort of adjust what his mindset is and become a little more focused on the spread concepts that exist in the high schools in the state of Texas that basically every Texas college has to run.
Last thing, and then we're going to let you go. Really appreciate your time here on this Friday morning. South Carolina comes here in November. It's a team I'm high on. I don't know why. We cover so much SEC West that we typically kind of overlook the East. Vanderbilt's the one team that Ole Miss sees every year, so the other teams are just sort of strangers in the night sometimes. I like Carolina. I like what I hear. What do you think of them?
Yeah, I do too. I think they're the second best team in the SEC East, and I don't even think it's really close. I think when they get Deebo Samuel back and join him with Bryan Edwards, that's a really, really dangerous wide receiving core. I think their offensive line is extremely underrated. I think when it comes to their running game, a lot of those guys were banged up last year, and they still found a way to at least be effective. And, Jake Bentley, I think last November maybe tried to do too much, and that's why he regressed a little bit. But I think now that he's got all of his guys back, assuming they stay healthy, they're going to be really tough. So, South Carolina is one of those teams, I think, kind of like Mississippi State in the SEC West, where their floor is really high. I think their bad days, they're still going to be pretty competitive. I don't know what their ceiling is. It's probably not that high, but their floor is, which makes them really, really tough every single week. So, I'm with you. I think good is a good way to solid is a good way to describe them. Even when they're bad, they're still going to be tough. You don't know really what you're going to get on their best days, but on their bad days, you're still going to be in for a fist fight.
Well, my friend, appreciate the time very much. We'd love to visit with you again soon. Hope you have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. You too.
Thanks to Barrett for joining us on his busy morning. I'll tell you the name to know. In the Mid-South, Fort Realty is Stacy Berry, a Keller Williams agent looking to help you find your special place to call home, whether it's downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville, born and raised in the Bluff City. She knows the dynamic and unique intricacies of the city that it has to offer, and she's wanting to put you in the 901 today for her first-time home buyer looking to downsize. Stacy will evaluate and determine your current home value and sell it quickly for top dollars. Looking to sell a home, buy a home, or invest in real estate, the Berry Home Team can unlock Memphis for you. 901-481-6420. Stacy Lane Berry at kw.com and theberryhometeam.com. That's Stacy with an E, Berry, the name to know in Memphis.
And if you're shopping in Oxford for real estate, whether it's a home or a condo, get in touch with Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent, been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you might be looking for. Take heed and solace in the reality that what you see is updated daily. That's what's really on the market. And then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. And you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They have a great app as well. We're located there in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. They deliver wherever you are. They're now in Oxford as well with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, where that Oxford branch delivers anywhere in the Oxford area. So appreciate Barrett jumping on a little bit on this Friday. When we get back, will be week of fall camp opening, at least. I know media day next week, fall camp opening.
Is it next week?
That's right, right? It's got to be, right? It's got to be the end of next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the end of next week.
What day is today? Today's 27th?
Yeah, so it's like 2nd, 3rd, 4th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week, okay. The end of next week.
Yeah.
So this is the last weekend before it starts kicking in.
Gotcha.
That is correct. Fall camp, though, has even changed a lot in the last 10 years since we've been doing it together. I mean, there's less tackling. There's more emphasis on just get there healthy, please.
Of course. Because they practice all summer.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They voluntarily practice
all summer.
We're going to need you to be here at 6. It's voluntary, but it's probably highly recommended, I would say.
I can't emphasize enough how voluntary yet recommended this is.
You don't have to come.
Yeah, I mean, I can't make you come, but you should think about probably being there early and stay late on your own.
Where are you standing on this Home Alone reimagining with Ryan Reynolds that is in the works? You not seen this?
No.
Well, I know this is hard to believe. It appears that it broke on Twitter, and Twitter did not get the full landscape of the situation that was going on.
No.
There appears to be a little more to it, or a little more context necessary than maybe it was Variety or whoever it is, one of those Hollywood Reporter or something. They said, well, Ryan Reynolds to star in Home Alone remake. So in my mind, I'm going, well, is he going to be a robber? Is he going to be the dad that loses the kid? Who's the kid's going to be? Why don't we have to remake every movie known to man that's pretty good? But a reimagining would be the way that I would phrase this. Ryan Reynolds to star in a movie where he is a 20-something, even though Ryan's like 40 probably at this point, into his 40s.
I would think.
Anyway,
he looks a lot better in his 40s than I look in mine.
Well, he's not saying I don't think he's as old as you yet, though. When he gets your age, you never know.
Let's see how old Ryan Reynolds is.
He's 41 years old.
Okay. Well, he is a lot younger than
Yeah, I mean, when he's 48 or whatever it is.
He'll look like hell just like I do right now, of course.
You look like that at 41.
Let's see.
Don't think you look like Ryan Reynolds at 41?
I'm going to guess not, but I'll make sure. No, I've never looked that good a day in my life.
Okay. So he's a 20-something, as I understood it, stoner who has gotten incredibly high at home. Okay.
He's married to Scarlett Johansson. Oh, they divorced.
He's married to Blake Lively.
Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Let me see what Blake Lively looks. Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Are you listening?
Yes, I'm sorry.
He's a 20-something stoner who apparently gets high as a kite and has thieves break into his house. And then he has to ward them off, similar to Kevin McAllister. But he's doing so probably hallucinating and on shrooms or something. So it is a maybe an homage to Home Alone, but it shares very little consistencies with Home Alone. It is not a remake, as they call it. Remake is what was throwing everybody off. That is not a remake.
It's interesting.
It's a slapstick money grab, but more power to him. Yeah, I have no problem. I mean, he's raking in Hollywood money. In all seriousness.
Oh, yes.
Did Deadpool.
Yeah, something tells me they can afford the power bill at the house.
Think so? I bet the power bill is a lot, though.
I'm sure it is. She's probably pretty high maintenance.
You think so?
Blake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Well, aren't you being a little superficial?
Yes.
With that comment? What are you basing that on?
Appearance.
So you think people are high maintenance based on their appearance?
Can be, yeah.
What about her appearance makes her look high maintenance?
Just a suspicion on my part that Ryan has to stay on his toes.
I mean, it's kind of like the When Harry Met Sally thing. Do you think she's actually high maintenance, or you think she thinks she's low maintenance, or you think she just knows she's high maintenance and embraces it?
That's a good question. I would guess that she thinks she's not high maintenance.
Really?
Because he's probably some degree of high maintenance in her eyes.
Based on his looks, too, is what
quite
you're judging that.
Quite a handsome man. I mean, that's all. We can all be secure enough in our sexuality to say this. Not that there's anything wrong with anything else. Don't get me wrong. It's fine. But come on. If you're the guy that can look at Ryan Reynolds and go, I don't think he's good looking, you're fighting this way too hard. Ryan Reynolds could walk into your house and take your wife away tomorrow. Yes. And you would say, I get it. As she walked out the door.
98% of the houses in this country.
Yes.
That's probably low.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many women in America is Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds could do it. Ryan Gosling could do it. Justin Timberlake could do it.
Yeah, so of those three guys, how many women in America is that their, quote, hall pass?
99%.
Yeah, I mean, just a gazillion.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. I'm done. Just found it. Interesting, if nothing else. Stoned Alone is the name of it. I don't know a production date. Don't know when you're going to be able to enjoy it, but yeah. When
Stoned Alone.
Yeah, Stoned Alone. You get Creed 2 Thanksgiving? Is that
Thanksgiving.
Right?
That's got Day After the Egg Bowl written all.
It does have that Friday feel to it. No, you got to sit and watch, what is it? Arkansas LSU or Arkansas Missouri or whoever it is now.
No, I don't. I can go watch Creed 2.
No, we still got Neil's picks coming. We do
have a couple of, at least two really. If you're out there and you're thinking about advertising, you've been thinking about jumping in. Got a couple of opportunities for you. I think we can reveal this now, right? We've always done Neil's picks every Thursday on the site.
Yeah, you're fine.
It's one of the most viewed things that we do.
It is.
Probably the second most viewed thing that we do each week.
It's the thing that everybody comes to expect, and for the most part, people know to laugh at it. It has no serious nature to it whatsoever, including one little inclusion we're going to do this year that is exciting me a little bit and making me a little nervous about phone calls at the same time. But
look, Houston Nutt believed, and Houston Nutt believed that Neil's Picks was a serious journalism endeavor, as did Sean Patterson Sr. When you have two men with the intellect of those two that believe it is such an endeavor, then by God it is. And you are not going to sit there in such close proximity to me and belittle the Pulitzer Prize winning effort that is Neil's Picks. He's not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, really, Neil's Picks every week is a very serious think piece that could also appear in the New Yorker, but...
Thank you.
Yes.
See, wasn't that easier?
Uh-huh.
The other thing is I'm going to start doing a mailbag.
You are?
Every Wednesday, I think.
We're going to do Wednesday. We will take questions through the board, potentially, through Twitter, through email. People like emailing Neil.
Yeah, you can email me. I get a lot of emails.
You get more emails than I do. I don't get a lot of emails.
Maybe it's because I'm getting, I don't know. I don't want to stereotype.
Ooh, okay.
I get people who are angry at me and they want to put their name on it. I mean, I respect that.
Hey, that's,
much more than like Twitter.
You'd rather do that than Twitter DMs from Rebel Hero 12.
Yeah, because I just like, whatever. The person that puts his email out there and puts his name on the bottom of it, I'm like, okay.
There is some accountability to that that is appreciated.
Yes, I take those seriously. I read those and try to respond.
The mailbag will allow for more in-depth answers than simple message board replies is kind of the hope. We're stealing this from multiple people, but namely Gabe DeArmond at Missouri has been the catalyst for this. And, it's worked out well. Theft Inside the Rivals Network has been a positive from a content standpoint. 10 Thoughts is going well.
I like to refer to it as permanent borrowing.
Permanent borrowing. It's just a guy up at Missouri, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I saw some people want him to be the constant co-host of The Greatest Pod in the South.
There is an interest in that.
Is there?
Yeah. I don't.
It creates some logistical issues.
Well, it creates a lot of logistical issues. But what we will do is, whenever possible, we will get him on and let people hear Gabe. They like Gabe.
So, do you have something else there? You're just telling people they can email you if they'd like to?
Well, if you're interested in sponsoring those things, I can't speak for the mailbag. There's no precedent that I can put on it. I anticipate it will get pretty good numbers.
The ones in other schools have done very well. We also have a little higher message board presence on our site than a lot of sites. So, I'll be curious to see how that correlates and relates. But
we struggle with theft more than most.
We do. We have a theft issue.
We have a legitimate theft issue. Yes,
a bit of sticky fingers involved with passwords and whatnot.
Yes,
it's okay. It's fine.
It is what it is. We've learned to deal with it.
Yeah, that used to really raise your blood pressure more than it does now.
Yeah, I'm much more
half laid, a decade ago.
I'm much more laid back today.
You're much more laid back and also hate people. It's really funny because
I don't hate people.
You sort of like people back like 2006, 7, and 8, but you were incredibly more high strung back then.
Yes,
I mean your temperature would go to 280 in a heartbeat back then.
And now I'm not high strung at all. Would you agree? Very rarely.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't hate people. That's not the right word.
Because you had a certain time bomb nature to you about a little over a decade ago. I mean, before I really knew you, you almost kind of made me nervous. Like you had to kind of like walk sideways a little bit. And
I'm more wary of people now. That's the better term. People make me a little nervous.
Why?
I don't know.
You're not getting attacked.
No, I'm not.
You're not even really getting talked to.
No, I kind of get left alone, which is good.
Well, when you ask for something daily for over years, at some point people are going to be nice and follow that accord.
People respect that. I don't
wary of people.
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of keep a distance. If I know there's like in Atlanta, if I knew there were going to be a lot of people somewhere, I was like, I'm not going.
Even if your friends are there, quote unquote.
Okay, so Jay and Gabe and I talked about this.
Okay.
And Gabe agreed with me, and Gabe's a voice of reason.
Well, you say Gabe's a voice of reason because Gabe agrees with you about 98% of the time.
There you go. So when you go out with a bunch of sports writers,
okay,
if they're the sports writers who only talk about sports, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, I guess there is that segment. I don't associate with that segment.
Your group of friends don't do that.
No.
You don't sit around talking about Ole Miss football.
Yeah, like I'm not going to go have a beer with David Brandt and him go, well, look, here's what these this linebacker rotation is going to – it never even
you're
thinks
talk about
coming up.
Stuff, like yeah. Kids and the TV shows that your kids are
you
watching.
Wouldn't even know you're at a table with sports writers.
Right.
But there probably is that soap set.
Well, there absolutely is.
And it was all over media days, wasn't it?
Yes. And so you got to be cautious around that group. Like I nothing against, it's not because I have anything against college football or anything, but when it's your job, sometimes you kind of want to get away from your job a little.
I was amazed that Jay was so annoyed by the fact that people don't necessarily want to go hang out with groups of people when they get off work.
I know.
He presents himself as being social to a point that I'm not sure I even believe him. Like, I have a hard time computing it in my head with what he says sometimes.
No, I believe him.
Well, he did just go to Gatlinburg with a group of people last month.
He went to Gatlinburg. He just went to Disney wearing a fanny pack that says party on the side. We're going to talk about that on the podcast some today.
And he went on a swingers cruise to Mexico.
Wearing a t-shirt that said, if you find me, take me to Courtney.
And a captain's hat. I don't think you could pull off a captain's hat.
No, that is a complete lack of fear of attention. I'm the guy that is like, and I didn't used to be this way. I don't know what's led me down this path. Like, you were asking about the high school reunion thing.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it is like, I'd have to really talk to a lot of people.
Well, it's funny because I'm around you more than probably anybody else, including my wife at times, and you're antisocial to the point that it makes me look like I'm running for governor. But then I probably could have got more votes than the truck driver a couple years ago. But
you would have had a better chance.
I mean, should you run just to say you were the Democratic nominee for governor one time? Like, that is sort of a, you know, that gets in the first paragraph of your obituary, right?
You could do it as a joke.
To see if you could win the primary?
I don't think there'd be a lot of competition.
Am I old enough? Why would you have to be for governor?
Yeah, you're past 35, aren't you?
No, I'm 34.
You might be a year. You could run next time.
Ah, dang. All right. Well, I got to have time to get the campaign.
Because you have to be 35 to run for president.
You do. Age to run for governor.
Because we might want to get this off the ground. Are you... Not to get into your politics, you've become more of a Republican as you've gotten older.
I have, but I could fake it enough for the votes, right?
You're probably a registered Democrat, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll be moderate enough to, I don't know. It's like, there's very few like really hardcore left Democrats in Mississippi compared to other states. I mean, Oxford different because the university and
I still think the majority of all people are not hardcore one way or the other. I think we live in a centrist country.
In 35 states, the minimum age requirement for governor is 30. Although it's 25, 21, and even 18 in some states.
So you could run for
governor? I could run for governor, yes.
When's the next election? We're in one now, right? It's too late now.
Yeah, I'd have to wait till the next one.
So we could wait 4 years and launch your bid for the Democratic nomination.
Because you have to do that. I mean, you can't win. Yeah, that'd be the only way to get on the ballot. So
that's awesome.
The truck driver won.
Yeah, you're not trying to win the governor's.
I can't win the governorship.
But we're trying to get on the ballot.
In all seriousness here, it's really a sad state of affairs that we're saying this with some degree of actual possibility that it could happen.
Would you have to stop podcasting on this site? Or could you continue podcasting as long as you didn't campaign on your podcast?
Don't you have to either stop or give the other side equal chance if they so wished?
We would give the other side equal chance, for sure.
If you'd like to come on every day.
I would. Who's going to be the governor?
Tate Reeves or whomever.
He would have an open invitation to come on the podcast every single day.
Spend an hour with us.
He would join the list of people who have an open invitation, which is right now Ross Bjork.
There's a lot of people.
Kermit Davis, Matt Luke. Knight Bianco.
Yeah.
If Matt Luke calls this morning and says, hey, can I come on the podcast? Yes.
It's really a big list. I mean,
Donald Trump, wide open.
Houston Nutt.
Yes, Houston Nutt, wide open invitation. Probably should make sure that he knows that. I think he knows. Hugh Freeze, open invitation.
Mm-hmm. If Andy'd like to talk, we'll talk to Andy.
Yeah, of course, good grief.
It's a large group that has open invitations. Ryan Reynolds.
Ron Reynolds, Blake Lively. Yeah.
I don't know. Let's let this marinate for a second. While that is happening, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com is the website to go sign an annual contract. Get them to cut, edge, weed it, your yard all year long, outdoor living area, outdoor kitchen area, and more with MasterCut. 662-607-7773.
How well do you know your credit? Brian McLaurin is an experienced attorney offering a unique, highly personalized service to not only repair credit, but also educate clients on the ever-changing world of credit. He will work with you for an entire year to help you create a personalized plan to raise your credit score to help you meet your financial goals. No one else offers this kind of personalized credit counseling. This is why Gambrell and Associates refer their clients to Brian to get a fresh start. So whether you are looking to fight off debt collectors, get approved for home car loans or for that luxury credit card, let Brian McLaurin get your credit fixed and teach you how to take control of your credit. Brian McLaurin provides you the valuable experience, the valuable information that he has acquired through years of experience and research. This allows Brian to offer a unique, personalized service for anyone in the state or in any state, as he is always available to his clients by phone and email. He's ready to work with you. Contact Brian at bhmclaurinlaw@gmail.com or call him at 662-298-2029. Barrett Salee and all other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Billy's Pecans, man, we've told you about this as you're getting ready for your tailgates. Maybe you're taking that one last trip to the beach before the kids get back to school. Whatever it may be, Billy's Pecans has something for you. Check out all their different pecans. My favorite's the toasted pecans. I love the cinnamon spice pecans. You want something a little sweeter than that, they've got that too. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto. The chocolate Grand Marnier pecans are fantastic. They've got the cheese crispies, coffee cakes, whatever you want. They've got it. It's fantastic. It's great for corporate gifting. Stacy and Bailey and the people there at Billy's Pecans are just awesome. You'll enjoy talking to them, and you'll love their product. 1-800-624-7404 or billyspecans.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Locker Stockers. Let them take the hassle out of stocking your locker or your suite. The customer places the order, and they handle purchase and delivery before game day. Also, early sign up is 10% discount on a season package if you sign up before August 1st. 662-586-1487 or info at lockerstockers.com for more information. Yeah, the governor election's at the end of 2019, but Jim Hood is probably running, the attorney general, probably running as a Democrat. So that's a legitimate candidate. You probably would need him to lose and then there'd be a lag in the Democratic situation for 2023 is probably what you would need. You know what I mean? Because it was a little bit of a special case when the guy won 3 years ago, whatever it was. He had an open invitation on the podcast and never took it. We contacted him.
But we offered it to him.
We did, yeah. So, yeah, Jim Hood's actually a legitimate candidate, but you would there are instances where this – you could definitely get on the Democratic ballot.
That's what we're shooting for.
Yeah, you could make that happen. That's what
we're
shooting for.
We're not trying to get you elected governor.
Well, I don't know.
We're trying to win a nomination.
Well, no, I'm saying I don't think you can win the nomination, but I think you get on the ballot.
Oh, I think you could win the nomination.
You couldn't win the nomination.
I think we can get you on the ballot.
I can get on the ballot.
Make some noise.
I can get on the ballot. Maybe. Think about it. Probably ought to look up some dates and stuff. We know campaign managers and stuff. I mean, we can start.
We know people. We know people in politics.
Oh, anyway.
I don't think Austin Barber's going to help you get the Democratic nomination.
No, he would sabotage me, but be okay. Be all right.
We would fight him.
Yeah. That's true. Most of our friends are Republican operatives.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It is.
A lot to think about.
A lot to think about. All right. Last few minutes here on the show for the week. Really not much going on, to be honest. It is
it's quiet.
It is quiet for probably the last time, at least. Well, I have something of substance. I kind of wrote that last night. I mean, if nothing else, by the end of next week, there's something public that you at least can sort of talk about as we kind of get going.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we've talked. Listen, I give us this.
Yep.
We don't do a lot of the BS.
No.
We don't worry about fluff. We don't worry about clicks. We worry about clicks more than we used to, but not as much as other people.
It doesn't change our scheme.
It doesn't change the way we do things. The football season is actually going to get here late next week, and we'll cover it. We'll jump into it like we always do. And this weekend, the first part of next week's kind of our last dead time, and we'll probably embrace it a little bit. And then we'll crank it up.
Yeah, we'll be back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is what we're going to do. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
You guys will live.
Yeah. Well, there's a great spot in the South. There's a soft verbal. There's a beer garden.
I mean, you could even stretch those out where it feels like you're having a daily one.
You could.
Do you see where was it Facebook stock took a huge plunge yesterday? Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, massive plunge.
Like, huge.
Yeah, like.
What caused it?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either. I'm just kind of curious. I'm looking for it here. I'm trying to see. The stock, it has had an epic run since March, so short-term-minded investors were ripe to sell off Facebook once a hit of a less-than-perfect quarter turned into reality. Less time on Facebook means slower top-line revenue that had driven the stock to recurring all-time highs, is what they said. So
you don't do any Facebook at all, do you?
I have a Facebook. It is mostly to catalog photos that people tag me in, whether mostly of the child. And just basically some things that I haven't taken off the internet and saved to another device that I may want at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, just old photos and stuff, even stuff from college, because Facebook came out. I got a Facebook account my junior year of college, I think, is when Facebook got to Ole Miss. So I have a certain amount of things that are just there, even from college and different things. So yeah, I have it. I brought it back to begin with just to run the Rebel Grove Facebook account, because you had to have another account to run that page through.
Right.
And then now I'm collecting photos and stuff. People tag me in is the main reason. But I mean, it doesn't get anywhere near the looks for me that Twitter and stuff does. But Facebook is a much better place to try to run content through. The clicks and stuff are much better on Facebook than Twitter.
Twitter, things just don't live long.
7 minutes is the average time to live on Twitter. Because the scrolls, and as more people get on Twitter, there's more population and it scrolls faster. So, yeah, we're down to 6 or 7 minutes for Twitter as far as someone putting a link up and how long people typically see that before it goes away. So, yeah, that's true. But anyway, Barrett Salee, appreciate him today. We will, again, be back on Wednesday. The last couple days, I'm going out of town. I'll be back late Tuesday night, so we'll crank back up on Wednesday morning, and with a pretty cool interview that morning as well. So we will talk to you then. Take care.